For those of you who wore your jerseys today, I see you. I see you. I chose not to wear my jersey this morning because I didn't want smirks coming from you. But, you know, it is a tradition that on Super Bowl Sunday that we do represent our team. And so... Wow. Just for that, I'm wearing it through the whole service. I was just going to put it on, but now I got all the trashers. Safety team. Safety team, come get them. Hey, listen, if you're visiting us for the first time, welcome. We're blessed that you're here. I pray that you would not only be blessed by the service, but if you have any questions, we'd love to sit down and talk with you and just share more about the church with you. Today, we're going to continue in our study in the book of Galatians. So if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll make sure that you can follow along with us. And if you need a Bible, please consider that a gift from us to you. And I just want to encourage the men in our church that we have our men's breakfast coming up February 15th at 9 a.m. So please make sure you sign up for that. We would love for you to join us as we get into the Word and continue to grow as men. And again, the importance of us signing up is so that we can make sure that we provide enough food for everybody. And listen, I love you, but I just need to share this with you really quickly because it's so important. Whenever we do have these events, the sign-up is not to pay for the event. Okay, the food and the stuff that we do is for free. But if you don't sign up, then it makes it a lot harder for us to prepare. And we've had many of our last events where literally we get over 60 people showing up without signing up. And so I just want to say this in love. Stop. Okay, the food is free. We just need to know if you're coming, okay? So sign up, and it'll help us do our shopping. It'll help us from, you know, serving pizza at a breakfast, okay? And so please help us do that, and it'll be an awesome time of fellowship and encouragement. The other thing I want to remind everyone, you know, the couples conference that's coming up, one of the things that I've discovered throughout the course of my years of being a minister of the gospel is how much the enemy loves to attack our families. And he wants to cause division in homes. He wants to split up what God has brought together. And so I hope that you were able to hear the encouragement from the other couples. So whether your marriage is struggling or maybe it's not, maybe you're at a good place. Do you realize that God can use you at these kinds of conferences to be an encouragement to other couples? You get to pass on what God has shown you. And again, I'm thankful for the older couple that invested in Marisa and I, and it was valuable time for us. And so sign up for the conference. And listen, this one, there is a cost to it. But if you are financially strapped, do not let that hinder you. Come talk to us, and we will make sure that you can join the conference for free, okay? I don't want finances to ever hinder anybody from being encouraged by the Lord. And so I want to make sure that you do that. And then also, at the Connection Center, you can sign up for our couples fellowship. We're going to be meeting on a regular basis, and so once a month, and we have a study that we want to go through. So if you want to be a part of that, you can sign up and get a book, purchase a book for that, and then we'll announce when those dates will be. Sound good? All right. All right. Listen, if you can, let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. We're looking at Galatians chapter 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Love hearing your voices. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Father, we thank you again for this time, and we pray that as we go through your word, that you would be our teacher. Again, we sang it earlier, but now we want to apply it to our life. Holy Spirit, give us understanding and teach us how amazing our God is, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the promises that he has made will stand true. They will come to pass. So until that time comes, may our hearts completely belong to you as your servants, as your children. Lord, teach us how to live, how to love, and how to extend that love to others the way that you have so graciously poured out upon us. So bless this time as we get into your word now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we get ready to jump into chapter 5, I just want to share this with you because we are in the last section of the book of Galatians. And the first two, Paul has pretty much defended not only his apostleship, but the gospel message. In chapters 1 and 2, he wanted the churches and these false teachers who are known as Judaizers, that his calling and the message that he preached was a divine message. It was a divine calling that he received from Jesus Christ himself. So in other words, he wasn't appointed by man, nor was he taught by man, but Jesus himself gave him that responsibility and entrusted him with the true gospel message, as well as just having us understand that it is by grace that we are saved. And in chapters 3 and 4, Paul defended that gospel truth, that gospel message, by pointing back to the scriptures. I've encouraged this many times whenever you come across people that have a difference of opinion, whether in faith or views in the world, give them God's word, not your opinion. Point them to the scriptures so that they see you're revealing God's word and not your own. And this is, again, how Paul proved that salvation is through faith. God is the only one who can declare a person right. You can't do it based upon your own merit, based upon because you've been baptized or what church you go to, or if you become a member of a specific church. There's no scripture that ever points to that. You want to know one simple verse that describes the whole Bible? Here it is, John 3:16. There's no mention of a church. There is no mention of anything that you did to deserve the gift of everlasting life. Jesus did it all. So all throughout chapters 3 and 4, this is what Paul has been proclaiming. This is the truth that he's been revealing. And he used Abraham several times to help bring this truth to life. And again, the heart of this letter is to correct those who think they can earn their way into heaven. So Paul has been defending all of this, and now we're getting into chapters 5 and 6, which is the application of the letter. Now that we know Paul is a legit apostle, now that we know there is only one gospel, what are we going to do with it? How many of you remember when I get to the end of our message, one of the last slides that I would normally put up, it's called what?
A takeaway.
Thank you for those of you who pay attention. What is your takeaway? What is it that God wants you to know about the portion of scripture we just covered? What do I want you to walk away with so that you're meditating on, praying throughout the week? God, teach me how I can live this in my life. We have to connect the dots, and my job is to help you connect to Jesus, and then Jesus' job is to transform your life, not me. Jesus is the one who will come in and take your life and radically change it when you surrender it to him. And so if we had time, it would be really interesting, because I think if we were all to share our testimony, some of you might be afraid to be sitting to the person who's next to you. But this is the transforming power of the God that we believe in. He's not looking for perfection. He's not demanding that you are a part of an elite group. Doesn't matter what nationality you are, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. God's desire was to pour out his love upon everybody and to receive this amazing gift called everlasting life. He's laid it out. All we need to do is listen, surrender, believe, receive, and then pass it on. That's our job. And so we're going to see how Paul is going to take these last two chapters and start challenging us what a life looks like through faith and what a life will look like through the law. So he's going to have this comparison going on throughout these next two chapters. So I want you to understand, this is not just for the churches then, it's for us today. And this is the main truth that I pray that we would see. Now that we know the truth of the gospel, listen, all that Jesus has done for us and continues to do for us every day, he set us free from sin so that we can live for him. Live in freedom. Not live according to rules, traditions, but to live in the newness of life that God has given us. And the only way that we're going to find out what that newness of life looks like is when we dig into his word. You guys ready? All right. Jumping in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And so in this one verse, I don't know if you caught this, but Paul starts off with a positive and then ends with a negative kind of request. The first positive is this. He is challenging the churches to stand fast. Now, stand fast in what? In the liberty by which Christ has made us free. This phrase means to hold one's ground, to maintain position. Another phrase that we could actually put in here or use would be to stand firm. Stand in a position where you're not easily moved. One of the things that I pray that we would catch is Paul is encouraging the churches not to change their position, to remain in what? What Christ has set them free from. To be able to stand firm in their relationship with Jesus, because Jesus, again, over and over again, we've seen, is the only one who can save us. Paul's point is that Jesus is our Savior. We are not. Listen, can I just share this with you? I know, because there's some of you in here who may have had this thinking. You know, when I grow up, if I can just have this, then I'll be complete. If I can just get this job, I'm going to be satisfied. If I can just get this house, I'm going to be, you know, it's going to be amazing. If I can get this brand, if I get a husband, oh man, my life is complete. It can be. How can it be? Well, I think if you were to talk to people who have been married, you'll discover that there's a difference between people who love Jesus and keep him the center of their life compared to those who don't. And, you know, I have to throw this out there, because today there's so many marriages, there's so many things going on in our families. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm one of those. I'm married just like all of you, 35 years of marriage, and Marisa and I, we're not perfect. I pray for her all the time. I might get in trouble for that one. And we'll be very transparent with you. We're still learning. We're still wanting to grow in our marriage. So it doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is if Christ is the center, then he's your Savior. He's the one that makes you complete. And this is Paul's point here. It was Christ who set us free from the penalty of sin. It is Christ who redeemed us, who reconciled us back to God when our sins were separating us from God. It is Christ who has set us free from the control of the enemy, who is Satan, our culture, the things of this world, from those things that we thought we needed in our life, those things that we idolized, those things that we thought would make us complete. He is the one that sets us free from those things. For what reason? So that now we can live in freedom. from those things, thinking that we can earn them or gain them. And the reality is, Jesus is the one who has taken our life from being spiritually dead to becoming spiritually alive. Jesus and Jesus alone has done that. And so because of this, this is his positive note. Live in freedom. Live free from those things that you think you need. And now here's the negative. Don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. The word entangled here means to become twisted together or caught up in. His heart was to remind them, don't turn back. Don't get all twisted and caught up again in that knot that you were once in. And that knot was a yoke of bondage. Paul uses this stable gear to help prove his point. For those of you who may not know what a yoke is, it's basically a wooden beam that two animals were fastened to by the neck. This would help pull carts or even plow a field. This yoke represents slavery. It represents service, but it also represents being controlled by another. And so Paul is basically saying this, he's warning them, don't go back to that. Don't go back to that slavery of the law. Don't go back to serving these things that are meaningless. Those things don't matter when it comes to the kingdom of God. God is not going to care how big of a house you have. God is not going to care how much zeros you have in your bank account. And so he says, it's not about those things. It's about not being controlled anymore by this old rebellious nature that we've been given, that we have, that we've inherited because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And he says this, not only am I challenging you not to go backwards, his main point is don't think that the law is what's going to save you. These Judaizers are the ones that are trying to get you back under this yoke, chain you to this beam so that you will be enslaved to the rules and the customs and the things that they're telling you that you need to do to be saved. Paul went on in verse 2 to say this, if you think in this, become circumcised, notice what he says, Christ will profit you nothing. If you think by obeying this part of the law, listen, if you think by doing this, it proves that you are saved, this is what your actions are really saying. Number one, Christ is no benefit to you because his death wasn't enough. Number two, his service on the cross did not actually complete the work of redemption. So basically, when Jesus said, it is finished, by you becoming circumcised, you're calling Jesus a liar. Number three, you actually don't need Jesus to be saved. That's a dangerous ground to be in right there. When you and I think that we, in our own goodness or because of the things that we do, that it'll usher us into God's presence. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth here. I'm going to testify. I'm going to give you a witness. And Paul, again, being a legit apostle, has every right to share these things concerning the gospel message. And he says, I'm telling you the truth again. It does not matter who you are. If you follow through with being circumcised, notice what he says, you are a debtor. You are obligated to keep the whole law. You are required to keep the whole entire Mosaic law, which consists of 613 laws. Any takers? I mean, how many of us even have problems with three of them, right? Let alone 613 of them. It is definitely impossible. No human person that I know of can fulfill this. And one of the things that I do know is when I say this, I'm talking about us today. There is one who has actually fulfilled this law, and his name is Jesus. Because we are lawbreakers by nature, we are incapable. And again, you want to know? Listen, I know that there's some good people in here, but the truth that I need to communicate to all of us, whether you think you're good or not, the question is whose standard are you using? because we can compare ourselves to other people and think we're better than them, and rightfully so, we may be. Don't look at the next person, you know, sitting next to you. Don't think, oh, I'm better than this dude. You may put yourself compared to somebody who's on Skid Row and you look amazing. But put yourself next to Jesus and tell me what number you come up with. And so there's, again, you go down this road, understand and know the road you're going down. This is what is required of you. This is your obligation now, and you will be incapable of completing it, fulfilling it. James also tells us again, you break one of those laws, it's as if you've broken them all. Just one disqualifies you from being in God's presence. So what else does he say? Verse 4, you not only are a debtor to the law, but you become estranged. You will be withdrawn from this amazing gift of grace. And Paul really wanted to point them back again to the beginning of when they first met. When they first heard the gospel, Paul testified, you received the message as if it was God himself speaking to you, as if I was an angel. And you were touched by God so much at the beginning that you were willing to pluck your own eyes out and give them to me. This is how much God was impacting your life. And he went on to say, because now that you've turned from that, you're attempting to be made right with God through your own efforts. You're trying to become righteous by your own works. So you are withdrawn. And notice what he says in verse 4, you have fallen from grace. Now, this is important for us to understand and know. Paul is not saying that these believers in Christ have lost their salvation. What we need to understand is this. He is basically saying you've really fully never understood grace at all. Because you're turning away from something that has been given to you, it's as if you've taken this gift and you say, here, let me pay for it now. Let me give you money so that I can have this. And the truth is, Paul is saying you're trying to pay for something. You're trying to earn something that Jesus already paid for. Let me give you this example. Hopefully my grandkids aren't listening because you know how they like to twist words. But let's just say Mimi and Papa, me and Marisa, decide to bless our grandkids with a lifelong pass to Disneyland. No expiration date. No blockout dates. I give all 10 of our grandkids. That'd be some pricey gifts. But let's just say we were able to do this. Let me quote, and just in case they're listening. If we could. So we give them this pass, and they start using it. They're enjoying it. They're going to Disneyland every opportunity, after school, whatever. They're enjoying it for a month or two or three or four, and they're just excited about going to Disneyland. Don't have to pay for anything. Show the pass, walk in. But then all of a sudden, one day, one of the workers tells them, excuse me, you can't come in. As a matter of fact, that pass isn't valid anymore. What you need to do is work here at the booth for an hour, and then we'll let you in. See, this park isn't free. You need to pay for it. This doesn't work anymore. So grandkids being grandkids, not knowing any better, young, well, okay, I guess. If I really want to get in, I guess I got to do this. I want to go and, you know, go see Mickey or whatever, right? And so my grandkids work for an hour, and then they get to go in. And this happens for several months, and then Papa Bear finds out. What? You've been doing what? So Papa and Mimi sit down with our grandkids and tell them, listen, we spent a lot of money on you to make sure you have this blessing, to make sure that you have access to anything in this park. No questions asked. If you have been doing this, number one, you don't need to do it anymore. Stop doing it. You have a problem, call Papa. Papa will deal with this. Now point me to the guy who told you this, because Papa's going to have a few words with him. And I use this illustration because, again, this is a lifelong pass. I gave it to them. They didn't earn it. I wanted to bless them. And because I did this, nobody can take that blessing away. So for those of you who have this theory that somebody can lose their salvation, remember, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about God's favor, God's grace. And what I want us to see here is this. Nobody can lose their salvation for those who put their trust in Christ Jesus. For those who stay in this amazing relationship and don't turn away from God, who stop, you know, if they stop trusting in God and all of these other things, listen, you stay close to Jesus, then you will never ever have to worry about whether you lose your salvation. Don't try and figure out how close you can get to the line of sin. Stay far away from it. Does that make sense? And so, not only do we have this illustration, but listen to this. I believe that there's many people today who have received this amazing freedom in Christ, but who aren't walking in freedom, who are not walking in the newness of life that God's given them. They're still connecting to their old ways. They're still trying to pay for something that Jesus has already paid for. I believe that if we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, we need to take note to what Paul is saying here. And what is it? This amazing gift of grace comes to you freely. And when we do discover what Jesus did in order for us to receive it, our natural response would be to love him back, not because we have to, but because of the amount of love that was given toward us. We do this out of love, not because we're gaining something. We've already gained everything. And so God is not a God who forces you to believe in him or follow him. You have a free will to choose. And this is what Paul is saying here. You've actually have fallen, you've withdrawn from this blessing of receiving God's favor when you start trusting in the fact that you think you can gain your way into heaven. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It's that you are missing out on the blessings that God has for you in an amazing relationship that only he can guide you and lead you in. So without knowing any better, I still believe that there's people who have made a confession of faith, but still haven't quite experienced the freedom that we have in Christ. They're still being, again, yoked to those things, to that old nature of ours. How many of us can actually be transparent and say that the struggle is real? Yes. Cutting away from your old nature is hard. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not alone. Y'all didn't sound like you believed it. Verse 5. For we, Paul now turns it around, through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And his point here is now for, let me, or his point is, let me remind you of who we are. We are those who are living in this freedom. We are those who are living by faith. Those who are putting their trust in Christ are eagerly waiting for the day when, listen carefully, we won't have to deal anymore with this sinful nature. Can I just paint this picture with you really quickly? Today is a day that God offers the gift of everlasting life to anybody. To be forgiven of all your wrongs, whatever bridges that you've burned, whatever things that you've done in your life that are against God's word, God is willing to forgive. He's not requiring you to do anything to receive this forgiveness as far as you working at it. God is willing to bring peace into your life. God is willing to save you from this eternal separation from him. And again, even though we mess up, here's the thing that baffles me. He still looks at you as if he's looking at Jesus. I want you to think about that. As much as we battle with our flesh, and yet we know we mess up, God doesn't look at us as a mess up. He looks at us as if he's looking at his precious son, Jesus. And he says, we eagerly wait for this moment when we do get this opportunity to finally receive our great reward in being with God for all eternity. And he says this, and at that moment, nothing else is going to matter. Sin is going to be dealt with. Our old rebellious nature is literally going to be put to rest. We are not going to have to deal with that anymore. He says, this is what we're waiting for. And not only are we waiting for this, but he says, faith is what helps you persevere. Faith is what helps you to keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Because I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever had those days when you just don't want to get up? Amen. How many of you have had those days where you just, Lord, if you don't show up today, I'm afraid I'm going to get locked up. Lord, if you don't do something immediately, things are not going to go well. How many of us have had those days? Amen. I'll put everything up right here. All right. We go through it. We're just like everybody else, saved or not saved. We all have issues. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. We all have troubles that come into our life. And when they do, what does faith do? What is the benefit of putting your trust in God? He walks with you. And not only does he walk with you, but God is willing to speak into your life and give you the wisdom that you need to overcome those things. So we don't find ourselves battling over things that are nonsense. That we don't find ourselves getting sucked into the things that our world is telling us that we need to do. God's word will definitely transform our life, our thinking, and it is God's word that will help us become the men and the women that God desires us to be. And so this is what faith will do, help you persevere until we receive this amazing reward. So beloved, turn to your neighbor and say, hang in there. Come on now. Say it like you mean it. Come on. Hang in there. Here's another beautiful truth in verse 6, for in Christ, again, in Christ, because of Christ, Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Paul is anchoring down on this one true gospel. It is through Christ alone that we are saved. So circumcision and this outward demonstration of you trying to prove that you love Jesus, that you're trying to prove that you're saved, those things don't matter. He says this, neither does your nationality matter. I love this. You know, I don't really do this, but I just want you guys, just for a second, if you can, for those of you in the back row, it's going to be a lot easier because all you got to do is look forward. But for everybody toward the front, just scan the room really quick. Scan the room. Praise God, we don't all look alike. Praise God, there's a mixture of race in this room. Praise God, there's CEOs and there's, you know, high school students. There's children's ministry. There's people in here from all ages, different personalities, different likes, different backgrounds, different places. Obviously, different teams, right? And I'm still praying that one day all of you will come to the light. But we're different, and yet we're here because of Jesus. Amen. So let's keep the main thing. The main thing is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you want to be saved? You want to know what faith looks like? Trust Jesus, because he is what matters most in your life. Let's pick up in verse 7 to 12. Notice what it says. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Here in this next section, I want you to see Paul again reminding them of their past. You were running well. You started off good. Throughout the Bible, we see many people who start off good but don't finish well. And we also see people who don't start off well finish good. And Paul is reminding them, when you first came to faith, you were radically changed. You were trusting in the gospel message. You were being led by the Holy Spirit. Now his question is, who's hindered you from remaining in that position? Who has hindered you from trusting in Christ? That you would turn away from him. And he says, this, what you think is right, this persuasion that you've been listening to, this influence, it didn't come from God. It's coming from somewhere else because it's the opposite of what grace is. So Paul is wanting them to see in verses 7 and 8, you started off good. Whoever's messing with you, they're pulling you away from Christ. And he gives them an important thing to take note of. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does he mean by this? A little bit of compromise. A little bit of sin that remains in your heart will become bigger compromises and bigger sins. It'll completely consume your whole being if you let sin remain in you. You continue to give your ear to the things of this world, you are going to pattern your life according to the things of this world. If you start giving your ear to other people and other people have so many different opinions that it frustrates you that you give up following the Lord, listen, those voices, cut away from them. Go to the right resource. Go to the Word of God that is our final authority so that you will know what God desires of you. Well, Pastor, there's some pretty smooth talkers out there who use the Word of God. I get that. But can I just remind you that you have God's living spirit in you? And God's spirit is not going to allow you, if you tap into it, to cause you to deviate from the truth. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to lead us into spiritual things and to lead us into eternity, not take us on some detour. Don't let a little bit of compromise, don't let a little bit of sin remain in you. And in verse 10, he says this, I have confidence in you. Actually, I have confidence in the Lord. What was his confidence? That now that he's speaking truth to them, that they would remember like the first time that they met, go back to the true gospel. Paul had a confidence that the Lord, that the way that they would receive the word of God, that God again would speak into their lives and bring them back, restore them back where they rightfully belong. And this is what I love so much about the Lord, that even when we fall and we mess up and we make our mistakes, that his arms are still open wide for us. That he's willing to pick us up where we've fallen, clean us up, and put us right where we need to be. Can I encourage you with something? Maybe this is a word for somebody here today. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord and you just don't seem to get past this one specific situation in your life and it just keeps popping up over and over and over again. Can I just suggest something? Maybe your heart isn't really open to what God is trying to show you. Because God's never going to allow us to move forward in our relationship until we start learning some of the basic things. And if we're having difficulty in one area, maybe we need to start asking the Lord, this area seems to be popping up over in my life again. What am I doing wrong? What is it that I'm not seeing that you want to show me, that you're trying to teach me so that I can move forward and experience more of life? You avoid it. You run from it. You run from church thinking that you just can go to another church and you won't have that same problem. Guess what? It's going to follow you. Because there's no such thing as a perfect church. There's no such thing as perfect people. Paul is encouraging, staying firm, sharing his heart. I know God's going to speak to you. I just want to direct you to him. I want you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So whoever this person is that is hindering you, notice this. He says here, this person needs to be cut off. He needs to be removed. And then verse 11, the gospel, notice what it says in verse 11, that he's preaching and he's suffering, but the gospel that he preached, what does he want them to know? It's going to cause an offense to many people. Because if I still preach the law, I wouldn't be suffering the way I am. I wouldn't be going through this situation with all of these Judaizers. And so not only is the gospel offensive to some, but to those who have an open heart and a listening ear, it's what will literally change their destiny from hell to heaven. Now I want you to see this. This is how crazy this takes a turn really quick, because Paul goes mafia style here. Okay? When he says, I wish those who trouble you would cut themselves off, I'm going to keep this rated PG. But this is what he's saying. If those who trouble you believe cutting off a little skin is what saves you, then they should be cutting off the whole thing. I'm going to leave it right there. If you really think that that is the answer, why don't they do that? And I pray that we would see that he's not being crude, or it's just that whole picture. What does God really desire for us to cut away from? The sinful nature. The rebellious attitude and heart. The rules that we think if we obey, that's what gives us a ticket into heaven. And you see, Paul will now end this, and let's pick up in verse 13 to 15. Notice what he says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, listen to this, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And so in this last section, and we're going to stop here, Paul again anchors down and he reveals the truth. You have been called to freedom. You have been called. You have been, listen carefully, God who has called you to live in this newness of life because of Christ, he has not given you a license to sin. This is for the church family here. This is an important word for us, because I believe that today there are so many believers who are not walking seriously with the Lord. They understand and they hear about the grace of God, but what do? Instead of thanking God and having a heart of gratitude that he's willing to save us and forgive us of our mistakes, yet they keep on living in sin. Because they believe that grace is saying, God, I'm sorry, and now everything's okay. As long as I confess it, then God and I are good. That's cheapening God's grace. That is not understanding his grace. To live a life that is in freedom, to live a life according to faith, does not give you a license to do whatever you want. This license, this what people would say, oh, it's much more. No, You don't have to earn your way in this amazing gift. You just need to believe it, receive it, and take ownership in it. Be willing to unwrap the gift. Be willing to handle and enjoy the gift. Put it on. Be willing to let the word of God literally transform you the way that it should. And when we look at this, here's what Paul is saying. When you come to Christ, come as you are. Don't think you can clean yourself up. Just come. But Pastor, you don't realize, I don't need to realize. What you need to do is walk in obedience to what God's word is saying. And he says, come to me. All of you. Doesn't matter who you are. All of you come. And when you come, bring your mess with you. Bring it. Why? Because God has the ability to set us free from that mess. God has the ability, and when he said again, let me remind you that it is finished, when his blood was shed on the cross for you, that's what frees us from the past and the mess that we've got ourselves into. That is what gives us the ability now to live in the newness of life that God's promised us. And because of this, if we are living in faith, we're not going to use it as a license to sin, but what will we experience? Instead of living for ourselves, we're going to live for God, and then we're going to love other people. This is the simplicity of the gospel. You love God first, then he teaches you how to love one another. You want to know the answer to fixing your marriage? There it is. Love God first. Because if you experience the love of God and you never transfer that love to other people, then you really have never experienced God's love. One of the things that I pray you would see is this. He says it very clearly in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, or in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul pointed them back to the same portion of scripture that Jesus pointed the religious leaders of his day when he was on the earth. What is the greatest commandment in the law, trying to get Jesus to get, you know, trip him up and say something against the law? And in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 34, what did Jesus respond? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, mind, with everything that is within you. First, love God. That's the first greatest commandment. What's the second greatest? Love your neighbor. And then he ended with this: hang all of the law on these two. We have now the ability to be set free from our old nature. For what purpose? To love and to serve people. That is what God is calling us to do today. And this is what I also don't want us to miss out on. Remember with me, when Jesus died and he says, come as you are, that doesn't mean he wants you to stay the way you are. Because his shed blood was not for nothing. It wasn't so that you can continue in sin. It was to set you free from it. And he goes on to say this: love God first, love your neighbor second. Think of others' well-being before yourself. Be willing to help those that are in need. Be willing to give a helping hand whenever called upon. If it's all possible and you have the ability to do it, be there to help carry one another's burdens. These are the things that God desires for us as believers to walk today. And so what is our takeaway today? What is it that I pray we would see God wants us to learn from this portion of scripture? That if you call yourself a follower of Christ, okay, if you are a disciple, if you are one who has surrendered and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, this is your takeaway. Now that you know that truth, live free. Live in the freedom that comes through Christ. One day at a time. Did you hear that? One day at a time. Can I just ask this question? How many of you have ever looked back on your walk with the Lord? Maybe you asked this question today. Okay, now I accepted the Lord. Now what? What's my next step? Okay, they told me I have to read my Bible. They told me I have to pray, but how do I do that? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been at a place where I don't really know what this relationship with God needs to look like? Okay, I want to just give you this simplicity of what this means to come to Christ and to live in freedom. That every morning you wake up, this is what I want to encourage you to do. Acknowledge God. Be willing to say, God, thank you that I'm not the same person I was yesterday. Because if we can all be honest, no matter what part of the day, we're going to do something that's going to cause us to sin. Whether we think it, and some of us think out loud. Whether we think it or whether we do it, we all sin. We still have this sinful nature that we're dealing with. But if you wake up every day and you acknowledge God and say, thank you, God, for a new day. Thank you, God, that today I get a chance to know you and just open up his word and say this simple prayer. God, help me understand your word today. I want you to understand that we will help you know where to start reading. We'll help you get a devotional. We'll help you just to give you some practical things for you to do. And after you're done reading, don't be legalistic about it. Don't think that you have to read a whole chapter or a whole book in one sitting. Just read until you have that moment and you go, that was a good truth I just read. You can stop right there. And then throughout the rest of your day, God, help me to apply this truth to my life. Just take one day at a time. And when you walk through that day and maybe you had an opportunity to walk in that truth and maybe you blew it. I've been there. I preach the message on this. Hey, you need to be kind to one another. And I go home and I snap at Marisa. Like, dummy, listen to what you're preaching. How many of us have done that? You know where you'll see it a lot? After a Christian concert. Everybody's in the Lord, in the concert, praising the Lord, raising their hands. But when they get into that parking lot, there ain't no more praise the Lord. How quickly we can change. But as quickly as that happens, be quick to repent. To say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's one day at a time. One issue at a time. And here's the goal. Let's just ask the Lord to help us not sin as much as we did yesterday. And you keep making that prayer every day, that list is going to get lesser and lesser and lesser. And when you are tempted, start looking at God's word and realize that God will be faithful to help you in those times of temptation, that God will give you an escape route out, that God will be there to walk you through it. You just got to trust him with it. No matter, as we sang earlier, I may not be facing Goliath, but I have my own giants. God will help you overcome those things in your life when you turn to him and trust him. Live in that freedom. Live in the fact that you have been saved from eternal separation. Live in the freedom that you don't have to be perfect. I sure hope that brings some relief to some of us. What else do I want you to walk away with today? How does this living in freedom look like? Live according to the truth. Go back to the scriptures. Every day, just as much as you feed yourself physically. And some of us can do that really good. Some of us know how to put things together, know how to eat certain foods, and those foods, though they taste great, they may not be healthy for us. But I'll tell you this, you eat God's word every day, your soul will be fed. Your heart will be content. Your direction will receive the wisdom that it needs. The things that you go through, you'll get that guidance from God. How about this? You surrender your heart every day. God's Spirit is the one who gives you the strength and the ability to say no to sin. That is an amazing gift. What else do I want us to take away from this message today? Live a life that is devoted to loving God and serving others. That's my challenge for us this week. And I pray that all of us would pray it through, that we would all be willing to keep our eyes on Jesus, what matters most, to remember what he set us free from, and to now live according to God's word, that we would literally be a living Bible for our community to see. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. I want to thank you for your word. And I do pray, God, even for today, there are going to be many who are gathering around a TV screen. There'll be many who are going to be happy and many who will be sad. And though we joke about it, there'll be many who will take it too far. Violence will enter the scene. People will be hurt because of a football game. And I just pray that today for us as a church, as a family, as followers of Christ, that we would continue to be a light and help our world see that Jesus is what matters most. I do pray that today we would live in the freedom that Christ has set us free from, that bondage of sin. I pray that we would, again, love God with everything that is within us, that we would stop playing church, that we would stop, Lord, that we would stop allowing our old nature to rise up again, but that we would truly cut it off, that we would remove it as far away from us as possible. God, I pray that today you would fill every believer with more of you. And maybe you're here this morning, and as everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I just want to offer this invitation to you. Maybe you're here today and you haven't quite made Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Can I just share this with you, that God loves you? And God has provided a way for you to be reconciled, to be brought in a right relationship with him, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that his death and his death alone is what paid the penalty of the sins of the world. It's your sin, that's my sin, it's all of our sins. And because Jesus was willing to surrender his life, out of love, he did this so that you can have life. So that you would be set free from being separated from God. That you would have a gift called everlasting life. So that you can be with God for all eternity. God did it all. That's why it's called grace. And if you're willing to believe that, you're willing to receive that and desire to experience a relationship with God, we just first need to deal with the sin. The Bible says when you confess that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, that you yourself, what you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, that you will be saved. Not maybe, you will. So if this is you this morning, right where you're at, I want to invite you, slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you, to lead you in this prayer of getting right with God, to understand and know the depth of what he has done by leaving us his word that will guide us to his very heart. And if many of you are wondering why our world is the way that it is, because nobody's digging into the word. Nobody is trusting in God. They're trusting in themselves. Praise God, I see your hand here off to my right. Anyone else? Praise God, I see your hand here in the middle off to my right as well. God wants us today to see the beauty of who he is. And he's given us the right resource to find out. So I pray, one more minute, anyone else here in this room? Praise God, I see your hand here in the middle. You guys can put your hands down, thank you. God, we are so thankful for the way that you're ministering and moving within our service, that hands have gone up. And Lord, you know every heart in this place. And maybe there's some in here who desired to raise their hand and yet they didn't. Will you continue to work in and through their life? And I pray that my encouragement to you is you can still pray. Just because your hand wasn't raised, it's not your hand that saves you. It's your heart. So you can still pray this prayer to receive Christ. And so anybody in this room is invited to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And if this is you, just repeat this prayer with a sincere heart between you and God. Just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. And God, I confess that I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that my sins can be forgiven and I'm at peace with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, from this day on, I give you my heart. Would you please come into it and teach me your ways? And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.